Thank you, Jim. Well, we have heard the experience of developed country, and now I'm presenting the experience of a developing country, or one of the least developed countries in the world, Ethiopia. Well, as in other countries, there are two sets of communities. One is the traditional ones, and the second one is the modern communities or community organizations. Both the traditional and the modern communities coexist together. The modern, the traditional ones have been going on for the last so many years. But the traditional ones, the modern ones, have been established through government policies and guidelines. And they have been working for the last, I think, 40 years since the adoption of the Alma-Ata Declaration in 1978. The modern communities, you remember that in Alma-Ata in 1978, primary health care has been declared and has been adopted for health for all. So those communities have been, you know, the modern communities have been organized by proclamation, by decree. And later on, this government, the existing government, deepened the scope of the modern communities for achieving the Millennium Development Goals. So there are two objectives for modernizing our communities. One, for the health for all objective by the previous government, the military government, in 1978, there was a decree. And then the existing government also organized the communities, so the communities were used as a tool, as an instrument for the achieving the Millennium Development Goals. Well, the traditional ones, members, we call them different names. We give them, I don't know how much you can understand, but we call them Ede, which means, you know, people of neighborhoods come together and they support each other during the time of griefs. You know, they contribute money, they contribute, you know, assistance in terms of in-kind, and they give assistance in-kind to the grieved family. The second one is what we call the Mahaber. Members are beyond the neighborhood. So these are, you know, communities that have been organized to engage themselves in developed and in different development activities, especially our country is a rural country, and most of these Mahabas do exist in the rural areas. So what they do is they come together on different days to assist each other in the in plowing the land, in weeding, in harvesting, and also in the construction of houses, and so forth. The other is the Ukub. The Ukub, what we call, is, you know, they exist both in the rural and urban areas. They include the elites and the non-elites as well, you know, those people living in the rural areas. These are, you know, they organize themselves to get a chunk of money for the purpose of doing something with that money. For example, there will be a third for this month. Somebody will take the collected money, and the next month somebody will, another person will take the collected money, and that person who has got the money either will buy a house or can buy furniture, or he can go in the rural, in the urban areas, he can buy a car. So this is, you know, it's just to do something with that collected money immediately. So this is what we call EDA. But the modern ones, as I said, are established by government decree. In the government decree, there were two very important... where is that? Can I help you? Okay. Well, Ethiopia has accepted this. I have to pass all this. Sorry. This is a profile of the country. This is health indicators in the 1990s when the MDGs have been adopted. So, for the modern communities, the main features are they are established on the basis of democratization of health system for the purpose of democratizing the health system, which means for the establishment of health councils, for contributing something in the health sector, and so forth. I don't want to spend time. Secondly, they are established on the basis of the government policy of decentralization. You know, just shifting, you know, some tasks, responsibilities down to the regions, down to the districts, and from the districts to the community level. And then there was another principle which has been adopted during the Health for All time, and as well as for the MDGs, is intersectoral collaboration. The purpose has been designed for intersectoral collaboration. Then there have been also established for the purpose of undertaking promotive and preventive activities. How they are going to do it, I'll come back to it. The additional work that has been given to them is promoting family health services, especially there is high infant mortality is very high in Ethiopia, and maternal mortality is very high in Ethiopia. So there must be an intervention whereby community elected health workers, we cannot call them health workers, but community health workers, to go down to the family level, to really work with the family, to really work with the mothers, and also work with the neighborhoods. Let me pass this one. I will pass this one also. But these communities have got objectives in these declarations, in these proclamations. The definition of the communities, of the modern communities, have been given clearly. The objective of these communities or their participation is to ensure ownership and partnership. This is very important, and that is being exercised. The second one is to ensure relevance, that they are relevant to development, and also to really to maintain sustainability of all activities, all what has been achieved. Then to share costs. They are required to share the costs of community-based activities. Then to increase project efficiency. There are different ways of how this efficiency is gained. And then to increase project effectiveness. There must be an effective intervention. That has to be ensured also by the participation of the communities. Then build beneficiary capacity. They have to, the one is not only looking, taking something from them, but there must be also something that has to be given to them. So the capacity building is one of the activities that has been given to them. Then increase the empowerment, capacity and competence. So these are your objectives of their participation. This one I've discussed it. This I've also discussed it. Then communities also, not only in the health sector that they participate in primary school construction, in strengthening malaria in other institutions around the communities. Then in malaria control, in alcohol, drug, and substance abuse. Also, which EPHA and in support with the CDC is very much involved. Non-community disease control like cancer, which EPHA is very much involved in collaboration with the Cancer Society of Ethiopia. They also participate in community disease surveillance, reporting outbreaks, reporting deaths, and so forth. But then here also EPHA, Ethiopian Public Health Association, is also involved. Then they participate also in disaster management. They have their roles, their responsibilities. And then the food security, this is a very widely program, government program, very widely implemented. So they also participate in food security and sustainable livelihood, keeping the environment and so forth and so forth. The history of community participation started in the 1960s in Ethiopia. With, you know, there also it's not like the one that has been declared in 1975 in Almaty, but it was in a different form. It was following some sort of a drush, having some sort of a traditional form. But later on, you know, during that time, community health workers were being selected, trained, and they were trying to give some services to their respective communities. But this type of community health worker intervention or employment or deployment did not continue because of lack of support from the government, the then government. And later on, after the before the Almaty declaration, the military government also, it was a socialist government, whereby in China there were some slogans for the barefoot doctor, you remember, you might have remembered it, and then the mass line of controlling communicable diseases. Since it was a socialist government, it was adopting, you know, what China was had adopted. This is a barefoot doctor. So that previous government started with the training of community health workers, looking into the experience of the barefoot doctor in China, and also organized the community in the line that the Chinese had really organized their communities. During that time, what was being done was, you know, prepare a guideline from the central government that goes down to the regional and district level. And those following the guideline, the district and also the regional level institutions prepare and submit their plan to the national government, where it's approved, and then the implementation is left to the various to the districts and also to the regions. In here, some responsibilities have been also shifted to the communities. Communities were asked to select their own people, and then those people who have been, they could be males, they could be females. Then they were trained for one, the community health workers were trained for 3 months, and there were also traditional birth attendants, 100% females. They were trained for 1 month. So they were based in the communities. Those community health workers were based in the communities. They do promotive and preventive activities. And the traditional, trained traditional birth attendants, they do delivery. I will say that the community health workers, I mean agents, were trained for 3 months and the TBS for 1 month. Now, after the collapse of the previous government, then the new government, the existing government, came into power, and then it tried to modify it, to modify the previous form of community participation. So what, instead of the community health agents being trained for 3 months and the traditional birth attendants being for trained and deployed for 1 month, it started to develop a new cadre of health workers which could be trained for 1 year. And they are salaried. Those the previous ones, the community health agents, were not salaried. They would be financially and otherwise supported by their communities, respective communities. But here now, they are trained for 1 year, they are salaried, and but they are selected. These people are 10th grade completers, better educated, and they are trained also in an institution, I mean a vocational training institution. So they are more or less, although they are selected from the communities, they are all almost like a civil servant. So we are doubting whether these can really represent the communities. But what they do is really they go to house and do preventive and promotive activities. And also there is a post, there is a station for them, which we call health post. They do the immunization, the delivery, and other activities at the health post level. So when they are doing this, there are a number of local community organizations, smaller communities, whereby they come together and take the partnership in doing some of the activities at the community level. Let me, to save time, I've said most of these health extension workers, those who are trained for 1 year and who are based at the community level, they spend 75% of their time in outreach activities, on outreach activities, and 25% in health posts. As I said earlier, they do delivery, they do immunization, and they also do some curative activities, and also growth monitoring activities are undertaken by them. Then, now, again, apart from those health extension workers, the government has introduced a new layer of health cadres, which are called model families. From the communities, farmers, or otherwise in the urban areas, some people are elected. I mean, families are selected, and they are trained for 1 month. And those are to assist the health extension workers in different in their respective communities. They help the health extension workers in diffusing health messages. These model families, they are models, are selected, and they also train other families. They train other families. Now again, the government has introduced, because to tell you frankly, the government in a state of confusion, because they have committed themselves to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, but it's only 4 years that's remaining. So they are evaluating whether they can achieve or not the Millennium Development. In order to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, in different ways of doing business is being followed. The Health Development Army. Health Development Army is just introduced about 6 months ago, and it's being implemented out of the 11 regions. It has been started to be implemented in three regions, and the purpose of having this development army, Health Development Army, is to really to capacitate families which are lagging behind in terms of adopting safe health practices. Behavioral change is the target of the government, I mean, of all of us. But since there is a lag in achieving behavioral change, this development army could probably make a difference by assisting the two cadres of health workers, I mean, the health extension workers, as well as the model families, in capacitating other families for behavioral change. So this is model is going to be expanded more, and it's going to be implemented in the 11 regions. So far, a number of health workers, for example, you can see here what has been achieved. In terms of health extension workers, 34,000 have been trained, which means we have got 15,000 rural communities, and then over 12,000 urban communities, modern communities. So in each community, two health extension workers are deployed. And then in modern families, we have 17,427,888 families. Out of that, 12 million have been trained, modern families. And then as I said earlier, the community health workers, I mean the health extension workers, work in health posts. So far, about 15,000 have been established, and they have been equipped for delivery, for immunization, and that sort of services. So what has been so far achieved with this model of delivery of health services is that you can see health coverage by health extension workers reaching to 89%. antenatal coverage reaching to 86%, delivery attended by skilled health workers. This is a very serious, which cannot really be improved. And as we have seen in the last three, four months, instead of increasing the coverage being increased, it's rather being decreased, I mean reduced. I mean there is a sort of a reversal in the achievement of in this area in attaining the delivery. Therefore, what the government is doing is to improve, do business not in a usual way, but in a different way. So there is, you know, some action that is being taken to improve the situation. You can see also contraceptive prevalence rate reaching 62. Before, in 1990, it was only 2%. Yeah. Child immunization, it was about 24%. I should have shown you the table, the 1990 target. Now it has reached to 85%. Then the bed net distribution, it has reached to 39 million, and now malaria is no more an epidemic. It's not coming out as an epidemic proportion. It's just in a silent form that's occurring, malaria, in the country. TB detection, this is an area that has not been done much. Still, there is a problem. Okay, I'm finishing. So the role of communities, I've said, then the community competence building has to be done, as we know, but it has to be done in different forms. But what I want to make is that we must be able to build their cognitive capacity, that is to plan, to design, to implement. We have to also to design and implement in building their creativity, in their visioning. They have to have a vision. That's what we in Ethiopia, what everybody is working is any institution, a government institution, or any NGO, or any community has to develop a strategic plan. In that strategic plan, there will be a vision, a mission, that sort of thing. So visioning is very important for communities to have the capacity. Then they have to also to develop their management capacity. Then also we have to see how they're coming. They have got, for example, the communities have got a chair, vice chair, a secretary, accountant among the elected. Those elected leaders have to be trained in organizing their management or doing business in an efficient and effective way. Then they have to develop also the inter-community relations, because it's not only one community that can probably solve the country's problem, but they have to come together and solve together. So they have to develop an inter-community relations capacity. Then their stamina and challenge resistance, I mean, there are a number of challenges in developed countries. So they must not be terrorized, or they must not be confused with challenges that are faced. So they must be able to really to be trained in resisting challenges and overcoming those challenges. Then the ethical values, their behavioral flexibility and self-confidence development. These are the areas where community leaders, the community members, or the members of the leadership has to be built. I think that's all what I can say. I could continue, but I think I have to stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.